Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we're back, folks. Another edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider. First episode of the new year. And I know people are wondering, well, how can you have an episode? How can you talk recruiting when there's still uncertainty around the head coach? We're going to figure it out. They still are recruiting. They're still bringing visitors in. They're still prospects who are on the cusp of making decisions that they're still actively trying to, you know, convince to come this way. So we will break that down with you over the course of this episode. As I always say, if you like this podcast, if you like this YouTube program, be sure to like it. Be sure to subscribe to it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. And if you really like what we do, now is the time to really get in over at themichiganinsider.com. $1 gets you in the first month. And if you want to know what's going on in the Harbaugh watch, well, that is the place to be for sure. Joining me as they do every single episode, the best crew in the land, starting off with my man, Steve Lorenz. Steve, happy new year. How are you?
Good, guys. Yeah, we're milking it here with the as far as recruiting goes, you know, but still, amazingly, there is always something going on. So, you know, hopefully some clarity comes soon and we can move forward and focus heavily on the end of the 23 cycle and then the 24.
Yeah, well, look, I actually got some messages that said, do you guys just not do recruiting insider episodes anymore? I was like, you know that what we want to hear what's going on. We want to hear how it's affecting recruiting. I said, okay, we can do that.
They want to hear crickets chirping for 45 minutes. I mean, what the hell? Like,
jeez. Right. Bryce Marriage. Bryce, how are you?
Doing good. I hope you guys had a good holiday season.
Yeah, man. You know, so this is supposed to be the time, the ramp up for the decision for Nicholas Harbor, the top target in the class, one of the top prospects in the country. You know, five-star, who one of the revelations during the All-Star weekend was he said, look, tight end receiver. Like he is, you know, his vision is clear. It's not pure receiver anymore, but definitely not defense. We've talked about that for a long time now. But I think he's really settled into the Kyle Pitts sort of mode or comparison. And I think it's also conducive to his track aspirations. He has added Oregon to his visit list, which to me is a bit surprising. I can't remember if we talked about this, Bryce, but it was a bit surprising because when one of the trips, I think I've been down with him three times now for sit downs. And one of those trips, he was like, man, I can't do Oregon. not the school. And it was on the record. So let me be clear. I'm not sharing anything that he said off the record. I am sharing something that I cut out of the interview at the time because I thought, man, it unnecessarily exposed him to criticism. If it's not a school that he's seriously considering and he's like, I'll never go there because I'm not a nature guy. He said, I'm not a nature guy. I said, well, there's Nike. And he was like, yeah, that's it. It's just Nike out there, right? But Oregon's great school, a great track program, football program. Is maybe arguably the top program in the Pac-12 now. I'm sure they've said something like, hey, we'll let you design your own shoe. We got the Nike headquarters a little ways over. So I'm sure they're selling a vision. But from a relationship standpoint, guys, and I think that's a big deal with him, I think they have a lot of catch up. And I just don't think that he's going to be wowed enough by what he sees to jump over the schools that I think are Michigan's biggest competition right now, South Carolina especially. You know, Maryland somewhat as the home school, but mainly South Carolina, I think, has come up in a huge way and presented a real stiff challenge for Michigan. Meanwhile, with Michigan, even with all the buzz about the other schools, I was thinking that Michigan was out front. Now, with the uncertainty around Harbaugh, as much as they've done an admirable job of making their pursuit at this point, because I was talking to Pam Fish, his track coach, Michigan alum, and she said, you know, they're making it about Michigan, the school, and not about the coach. And she said she's doing the same thing. She shed all impartiality. She said, Sam, I'm not doing that anymore, because I realize I don't, that's not necessary for me. I can give him the information I had about the school that I have about the school that changed my life. And he can, you know, he can use it how he sees fit. You know, if that influences him, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. I'm not pressuring him, but I'm also not sugarcoating my belief that Michigan is the best fit for him. So she's doing that. She said, oh, Ron Bellamy is doing a great job, and he's making it about Michigan. But Steve, look, I don't care who the recruit is. I don't care, you know, how broad his criteria. When there's a question about who the head coach is going to be, I just think it's impossible that that doesn't affect things at least some.
Yeah, I mean, there's no, I think zero chance, right? You can't say it has no, we would be full of it to say it's not, it would have no impact on the decision. So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, this is kind of a little bit like what happened last cycle around this time, right? I mean, it's not that much different. And Michigan was able to get stuff figured out and actually then ended up closing strong. You know, all it does is give other schools tons of ammunition to negatively recruit. Like, if you're South Carolina, I can't imagine you're not in his ear about what's going on, right? And then, well, we know Oregon's definitely selling something for sure. You know, Oregon very good at selling things on the recruiting trail. So, yeah, I agree, though. South Carolina's on him like crazy. I've seen him tweet, and he's in every tweet, even if it's football or not. South Carolina is like at that that Michigan State psycho level of fandom, like of just all up in his responses and stuff, right? I mean, it's a concerted effort from staff and fan base, you know. So that's going to play a role or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it does. That's really, and that's where we're at with this. More specifically, with the 23 guys they're still recruiting, there aren't many, maybe a few, but it's going to come down to when Michigan figures this out. And then after the dust is settled, you know, whether it's Jim or not, can Michigan rally the cause? And, you know, if Jim stays, can he convince kids like, hey, this is it, you know? And right. I feel like that's what this is going to, with these guys that are about to sign in the very near future. I mean, they're signing for the next 3-4 years, you know? So, yeah, I mean, it does put the Michigan staff who is still recruiting in kind of a precarious position, you know, so it does keep him interested in the school itself and then wait for things to happen and go from there and try to close it out.
Yeah. Bryce, you know, I know you and I have talked about this before, kind of pick up on what Steve was just talking about. These coaches can't make promises. They can be like, I think this is going to happen. And what I gather is that is how Ron Bellamy is recruiting Nick Harbor. It's like, you know, I think coach is coming back, but, you know, look at school, look at all the opportunities at school. So it's a quick pivot, which is what you got to do in this situation. You don't want to lie, but Steve is also right. I mean, man, school, the opposition is hammering Michigan on, okay, well, you think he's coming, they say he comes back. What about next year? What about the year after that? Michigan is getting killed with that. I mean, we'll talk about Jaden Davis here coming up. But his dad, that's one of the things he said to me. He said, man, these other schools are all over the – you don't know if the coach is going to be there, you know, this year, next year. Hey, maybe after your freshman year he's gone, right? They're just really catching it on the chin as far as that's concerned. So – it makes the it makes the road tough to hold for the assistants that have to go out there and recruit.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, they certainly got a lot more ammunition. I mean, it's easy to basically drill Michigan right now with negative recruiting because, point blank, they're putting this on themselves. This is self-inflicted wounds that Michigan basically is creating themselves. And with Nicholas Harbor's recruitment, it's just gotten complicated on Michigan's side. You know, it really did. It really hasn't. It didn't need to get to this point, essentially. You know, and it has now. Sam, you had a good point there, and I think Michigan is going to start doing this pitch. Is, you know, if you look at Michigan, look at the school. Don't look at the coach. Look at the school. Look what we offer. And obviously, he's a kid, Sam. You've noted that wherever he goes, Oregon, South Carolina, Maryland, Hawaii, Eastern Michigan, anywhere, he's going to get NIL. So that is not a factor in his recruitment as one of the main things he's looking at. But what worries me a little is Oregon is known for their track program. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, in Michigan, I know that has been kind of something that's, I don't want to say been a hurdle, quote unquote, no pun intended, but something that they've kind of had to show him and overcome. Like, listen, you can still excel here in track and in football, regardless of if you go down south or, you know, on the other side of the country. So it's one of those things where Michigan has made this recruitment so much harder when it didn't have to get to this point. I personally still like Michigan in this race, but it's tougher. I mean, obviously I would not put a crystal ball pick in, but I think, you know, if I had to do a pecking order, and this is just my opinion of how it would be, I'd say Michigan and South Carolina are like a 1A, 1B, with Oregon kind of nipping at their heels, and then Maryland, maybe even like a 2B. I mean, because Maryland's throwing the whole kitchen sink at him as well, being that hometown hero. And Mike Locksley has done a great job of pulling those like signing day surprises where he lands one of those, you know, guys locally and keeps them home. So there's a lot of factors going into everything. But in the end, these are the type of kids Michigan needs to land to get over the hurdle to beat, you know, like a TCU. This is the type of kid,
they didn't need
him. I mean, they
should beat TCU without him.
Okay, you know, well, I'm just saying. Absolutely. But okay,
I hear you.
But these are the type of kids that can help even further down the line, maybe like a Georgia and Alabama. But yeah, I looking at this recruitment, it's become more sticky, more complicated. And this is one where we're just going to have to wait and see. You know, I know Michigan's going to be recruiting, but like Sam, you said, what can you say other than we have great academics? We're going to be, again, a great program next season. But other than that, hopefully Harbaugh's back.
Yeah, that's what's giving me pause. Like I said, I've had Michigan out front for a while, and admittedly, it's hard for me to stick with that. All things being equal, like let's say that they got Jim's contract done today. I think, okay, you know, and you had an opportunity to get in front of him in an in-home and try to make him feel comfortable that, you know, you're going to be around. Because we can segue a little bit into Jaden Davis. You know, he was trending toward making a decision this month. He's been tired of the recruiting process for a while. He had talked about doing so in December. I think there are a few considerations. I think he exploring the NIL opportunities at the various schools, which is the prudent thing to do if you're a prospect in his position. And while doing that, you got this uncertainty about Harbaugh pop up. And I remember talking to his dad. He asked Jim this, so he was kind of reflecting about how they've been up, what, 4 or 5 times. And he said one of the times he asked Jim, he said, so what do you like coaching better, college or pro? And he said that Jim told him, well, I just like coaching. I like coaching high school, right? You said, hey, man, Jim Shrew. He said, I like coaching high school. I like coaching, you know, little. I like coaching anything. You know, I just like coaching. And then he said another time he came up and he asked him, he said, so how long are you gonna be here? I mean, are you think you're gonna finish your career here? You think you're gonna coach a few years and then go to the league? And what do you think? He said, "Well, I think you got to look at the school. You got to look at the school, and not necessarily don't worry about me," kind of thing. So that is to me another sign of what I've always said, that I think that there is this corner of his mind where that NFL dream just it rests. It's dormant, but it's there, right? And always leaving open the possibility that, hey, if the timing is right and the sun, the moon, and the stars align, maybe he'll make the jump. And he doesn't want to mislead prospects in that way. And that's why you hear him say things like, hey, no man knows the future. That's him not making any guarantees. At the same time, can he be compelling enough with sort of expressing his, how happy he is here at Michigan right now? I remember talking to him, or he texted me recently. He said, "This is the happiest I've ever. There's no place I'd rather be." And so, how effective he is at convincing these prospects that, hey, man, this is where my focus is. I'm not seeking the NFL opportunity. Just so happens that, in some instances, now they're knocking on my door. If he's effective enough at convincing them of that, that might appease some. In the case of Jaden Davis, man, if I had to say right now, I would bet on him not making a decision this month. I would bet on him delaying it some, because frankly, Steve, it's not like he has to make a decision this month, right? I mean, he's a 24 prospect. He could go into the spring. And remember, initially he was going to decide in the summer. So the reason he sped it up, or is speeding it up, is because he was getting tired of the process. If Michigan is the school that he really wants, and it is my opinion, I want to stress that, my opinion that Michigan is the leader, he can't afford to wait to let whatever is going to happen at Michigan happen and then make his decision after that.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always kind of a fine balance between making the patient, thinking hard about making the decision, but then also getting blown up and recruited like crazy by how many coaches for how long, right? I mean, yeah, he was only a junior this season, but I mean, some of these guys of his caliber have been recruited for a couple calendar years about at this point, so it does get a little stressful. If anything, I think we'd all agree a delay is tangible evidence that Michigan's situation is hurting them on the recruiting trail, right? Whether he ends up at Michigan or not, at the end of the day, a delay of any kind doesn't mean he's not going to choose Michigan. Just it means that the uncertainty is undoubtedly hurting them with some of the top guys on their board in multiple classes. So, I mean, like, we say only Michigan. It seems to be another situation where it'll just come down to what Jim decides, particularly at quarterback. Again, Jim is the draw for quarterback's prospects, right? I mean, we see what he's done with McCarthy. He's got the long history that we all are well aware of. He's really more the primary recruiter with the quarterback types. We know he was with JJ, with some other guys back throughout the process. So, yeah, I really think it would be tangible evidence that this is not going to help Michigan's cause with some of their top guys, if not all of them, until this gets resolved.
Yeah, because this was such – and is. I shouldn't say was, like they won't get him. But, I mean, to be able to lock up a quarterback early in the cycle is so huge. That's how you – Bryce, that's how you build a class, right? I mean, you get a class catalyst or lure, and there's no bigger catalyst or lure than a quarterback, and have him help you recruit the rest of the class, especially if he's a guy who – that's what, I mean, he's really about that. He's really about trying to recruit other guys. And that's Jaden Davis. You remember, he was on campus. I remember that weekend he told Brian Robinson, "You want to play with me, not against me," kind of thing. I mean, so he was already kind of pseudo starting without even being in the class yet. It's just, man, if they can get him in the fold now, that can go a long way towards making 24 a rebound class rankings wise.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, and it. The other thing is, look at the school he's at right now, Providence Day, which is loaded with talent, you know? So you're talking about a guy like Brian Robinson. Well, how about guys he sees in the hallways every day? Mm-hmm. I mean, there is just, yeah, I mean, Michigan hasn't had that flag carrier, like you said, Sam, for a couple cycles. And I do think, this is just my personal opinion on it, I do think it affects a recruiting class. I mean, look at the job JJ did during COVID, during Michigan going 2-4, and how big of a role he played in helping Michigan land some of these guys like a Donovan Edwards, you know? Yeah, man, this is just another recruitment that Michigan's shooting themselves in the foot. That's just how it's going right now with recruiting. You know, there's you go 25-3, you beat Ohio State convincingly back-to-back years, and you win the Big Ten, you go to the playoffs, and I don't know why, but we've been doing this podcast, and we've been, you know, working together for a while, but I just think of what Steve always says, or what always he used to say of, could you imagine what Michigan recruiting is going to be when they finally beat Ohio State? I always think about that when he would always say that, and I'm like, man, that's going to be crazy. Like, they're going to be destroying recruiting. And it's come to a screeching halt, you know? So this is one of those things where they just need to get this solved one way or the other. I'm in that boat, at least. Like, you're either going to stay or you're not, and we have to keep things moving. And this is one of those recruitments. Unlike Nicholas, like you said, Sam, he's got time, Jane Davis, to where he can wait. But here's the other thing with, like, Nicholas' recruitment as well. You don't want to give other schools the opportunity to enter in and then suddenly become a factor. Because right now, Michigan, and we've been saying this for months, who is their competition for Jane Davis? But if you leave the door open, you're going to see schools re-enter and suddenly become factors again.
Yeah, it's funny you say that as you were sort of talking about Nicholas Harbor, too. It was at one point with Nick Harbor. Of course, we see Oregon jumping in, right? Miami trying to angle for a visit in there. I don't know about that, but the Oregon thing is going to happen. But the more notable, noteworthy thing to me, you had already heard crowing out of South Carolina. I mean, you talk to South Carolina people, it's almost like they think Nicholas Harbor is committed already. But now you're starting to hear that same kind of confidence from Maryland. Like Maryland, you talk to Maryland folks, they're like, oh, hey, he's a Maryland lean. If his recruitment was to end today, he's coming to Maryland. I was like, man, come on. I mean, a lot of confidence, I think, being drawn from, maybe it's inadvertent, maybe it's indirect, but I think it's in part a byproduct. Michigan's slipping a little bit perception-wise, but they can get things locked back in, get an in-home. Because, I mean, what does he say? You got his track coach in Pam Fish, who is diehard Michigan. He said when he was down at the All-American game, you know, he said, my mom's Michigan, right? Mom's from Detroit. She loves Michigan. He said to me before, Michigan is mom's favorite. Had a great time up here. I think I mentioned in a recent episode, you know, dad and Oluolu Atimi's dad kind of realized they were from the same place. Right. And so there, so you, and they said that linked up, had a little connection there and was, you know, maybe able to, you know, have someone you can lean on and kind of figure out what the experience was like. Just another person to add to the many sort of plugs that Michigan has in that mix. But I just think without certainty at the quarterback position, left yourself really, really vulnerable to losing a guy who would be dynamic in this offense. It's almost better that he's talking hybrid than just pure wide receiver. Because, I mean, last year, I don't have the numbers to back this up, but I know that there were some games where Luke Schoonmaker was the most targeted guy, right? And you see how the passing game is going to expand probably even more with Coast and Loveland. Now, put those two things together, targets and an expanded, passing game with a dynamic guy at the position, you throw Nicholas Harbor in that mix, and you're saying talking about 7 and 10 targets a game, and you're lining them up against linebackers and safeties. Are you kidding me? It could be bananas. No, and no one throws to a tight end as much as Michigan. So they have a great pitch, but they're vulnerable, unfortunately, for them. We'll see how it works out. Don't know what the timeline is going to be for getting this all figured out for Harbaugh, but the sooner the better for them. The best thing that I could offer fans hoping for a quick resolution is the NFL timeline is long. I think that benefits Michigan in that, look, you got a window. You can really kind of glean where his interests are if he doesn't want to move quick, right? Because if you're Michigan, you want to get this done and over with in a timely fashion. I know there's some other factors to look at. I know they're worried about, you know, you're kind of paying attention to what's going on with this NCAA thing, and that is probably factoring into this as well. But from a recruiting standpoint, and they've got to be thinking about that, you want to get this wrapped up as soon as possible. And if you got into it and you realize he didn't, well, there would be a message in that. I don't think that's the case. I think both sides want to get something done quick. You know, from a recruiting perspective, you got to hope that they could do so quick, fast, and in a hurry. Now, here's an interesting question for you, Bryce. You got prospects coming on campus. You know they're going to be asking questions. I mean, that makes for an interesting recruiting weekend that you could kind of point ahead to.
I mean, you can show them the diag, and there's a lot of great things. No, I mean, yeah, Sam, I mean, that would be my first question if I took a visit to Michigan is what's happening with the staff, you know? And that's the other thing, too, people have to understand is, like, hypothetically, but let's say Jim Harbaugh leaves for the NFL. Well, who leaves with him? Who does he take, you know? Right. And that might be my main recruiter. So there are a lot of questions they have to figure out and solve. But, yeah, Michigan is going to have visitors on campus the next few weekends. Starting this weekend, they're going to have the number one player in the state of Ohio in the 2024 class, Bryce West, who's been in Michigan several times. He's a cornerback from Cleveland Glenville High School, which might sound familiar because it's – the head coach is, you know, the father of Ted Ginn. He's Ted Ginn Sr. So you're thinking that's Ohio State pipeline. Why is this kid even considering Michigan? Well, Michigan, one, has landed a couple kids from Glenville. Willie Henry, you know, Frank Clark. So it's happened before.
Yeah, Pierre Woods.
And two, Clink has a very good connection with the staff down there and just in general, the state of Ohio. He has very good roots and connections as well. And he's been putting in a lot of work in this recruitment. And this is one where I said, you know, Michigan, you went back to back against Ohio State. Okay, here's the real recruiting test. Can you pull? Because Ohio State fans, I've heard all of them hit me up, say, well, all the Ohio guys, Michigan's landed. They didn't have an offer, so it doesn't count. It's not a win, right? If you land Bryce West, oh, you beat them. That's the number one guy in the state. So for him to come back during all this uncertainty, I mean, that speaks to the volume of his interest, you know? And he's not the only guy from Ohio coming. Jordan Marshall, a very important, I think, in my opinion, one of the top five most important prospects for this upcoming class. And he's from the state of Ohio, hard grinder of a runner, punisher, a guy that when you think of Michigan football and like a Son Haskins, a guy that can take 30 carries a game, and that's just the name of his game. That's who Jordan Marshall is, a top 247 prospect. One of the best, Ohio State, I think Notre Dame, several of the top schools around the country after him. And finally, the third guy I know for a fact that will be coming is Jacob Oden. Sam, a guy that you're very familiar with. He's from the state of Michigan, Harper Woods, another top 247 prospect. He's an athlete. I think Michigan likes him in the defensive back area, secondary. Great, great athletic roots and genes. I mean, his dad He's a Michigan alum who's coached plenty of greats like Brandon Graham, for one. That's one example. And on top of that, Jacob Bonin is great friends with a lot of guys on the team, especially like Will Johnson. So he named a top five as well with Michigan, Michigan State, Iowa, Penn State, and Tennessee. Michigan State for a while was trending for Jacob Bonin. Now the crystal balls are swaying back to Michigan. I never put one in, but I've always been kind of, even when they're looking like Michigan State was the favorite, I was a little tempted to jump on that bandwagon, but I like where Michigan sits with those obvious connections and ties. But yeah, those are three prospects that are going to be coming up this weekend and probably having the same question that you, me, Steve, and everyone else is wondering of what's going to happen with Michigan and Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. On the Jacob Oden thing, I can buy that Michigan State was trending and trending very strong for a minute. I have a hard time believing that he was going to wind up there. They were convinced. They were talking about he was a silent commit. That was the word that was coming out there. Maybe he was. But if he was, I'm not surprised that he isn't anymore. Right? That was always kind of my point. It was like, they might be trending now, but you got to hold on to this dude for a long time. And he has such strong Michigan ties. He grew up such a big Michigan fan. And he has such a strong relationship with Clint. I mean, it's like he calls Clint like an uncle. Like that's, I think Michigan is the strong favorite there. And at this point, based on how things are going, I'd be willing to bet that Iowa is number two in that race now. So they've done a lot. They've had a lot of Rod Odin's, Jacob's dad. They've had a lot of his players in the past. So they have a lot of respect and admiration for Phil Parker, the defensive coordinator down there. So, I wouldn't call it a slam dunk for Michigan, but I think Michigan is in good shape. Big test, Bryce West, big test. There was a time where Glenville wasn't, lock, stock, and barrel tied into Ohio State. It kind of turned when I was at the workout where Troy Smith threw, and he put on basically a workout. And Lloyd was there watching. He's like, he was honest with him, just not our type of quarterback. Did he come back and burn him, guys? He came back. They came back and burned him. I remember being there. He wasn't the guy that he didn't really fit Michigan. And then, but the pipeline, that was when the Glenville pipeline was just starting. And because the reason why they were looking at Troy Smith was because they had just gotten Pierre Woods, and they came up and Ted Ginn Jr. was there that day too, but he was a young kid. He was like freshman at that point. And there's just a floodgates from there to Ohio State. Michigan was able to go in and get Frank Clark, wasn't really an Ohio State guy, one that they missed on. But the difference now is you got a guy with a strong relationship coming in the door with Clint. And you got a better secondary performance, right? Your secondary, say what you want about the prospects they've gotten, and they've gotten some big-time guys. Their secondary was a sieve. So if you're Steve Klinsky, you say you go there. You want to get coached? You want to get developed? I mean, what are you going to choose? You want to go? They run by you all the time over there kind of thing. So I think that's what the pitch would be. And then last but not least, I want your take on this, Steve. The most intriguing prospect on campus this week is Jordan Marshall, an Ohio guy, a guy who is being prioritized in Ohio State too. But listen, if you are a running back, I can't imagine there is a program, a top five program in the country more desirable than the Michigan Wolverines, because they are going to run that rock, and they're going to run that rock, and they're going to run that rock some more. And they're going to run it with more than one guy. There's going to be a couple of guys. If Michigan had their way, and this sort of gets to the recruiting point that I want you to dive into, Steve, like for as much as Michigan runs the football, they need three backs. Every year, they need three backs that they can absolutely say, we can win a game with that guy. Because it is that significant a piece of what they do. And so Michigan should be on top 100 backs they should get a top 100 back every cycle. That doesn't necessarily mean a five-star, but you should get a Blake Corum or a Donovan Edwards every year. And you can tell them all that they're going to play. And so that's why this Jordan Marshall, I mean, he's a footprint guy. You are a, you got another year where you had a big time rushing attack. I mean, you got to be able to go out and land guys like this and have at least three in the stable. We saw this past year how, you know, after they got past, you know, the first two, after they got down to Donovan, you went down to number three and they weren't quite ready for prime time. They got to have three guys ready for prime time every year, Steve.
Yeah, both running back and cornerback similar in that, yeah, high success at the position, but Michigan also has a need at both spots too. It's not, where Ohio State, if right now, potentially, if they're saying you could play early, it might be out of like a real just necessity. Because, yeah, the last couple of years, Ohio State secondary has been terrible. And a lot of the guys they've put in the pros were guys that were, face it, were probably going to go to the pros no matter where they played their college ball, a lot of them. So, but yeah, running back, yeah, kids should be tearing down the door to play running back at Michigan, right? I mean, not only the usage, but yeah, a balance of usage so that when you get to the pros, you're not run into the ground. I mean, that's a big thing Alabama has done. Is kind of the school I always think of with that. I mean, that they, you know, would not, you have your bell cow guy, you have your guy, your number one guy, but you know, a guy like Edwards, especially, I think next season, you're going to see even more will spell Corum more than he even did this season. And yeah, I mean, they're not afraid. They, you know, like you said, they want to use three. So I still think, you know, we'll see. Cause we look at Cole Cabana as an athlete. And that's a compliment. Doesn't mean he can't be running. He just offers a diverse skill set that Michigan can use in a lot of different ways. I think the door would potentially still be open for a 24. The door will be wide open for the 24s because I can see Edwards and Corum being their last season, right? I mean, I think Donovan would be drafted higher than Blake Corum this season if he was able to come out, just as far as NFL future NFL prospects go. So, yeah, both those guys, the playing time will be wide open. And so, yeah, regardless of who else is recruiting a kid like Jordan Marshall or even Taylor Tatum, the top 100 out of Texas is another guy that feels like, well, Michigan offered. So we're not 100% sure how hard they're recruiting him, but he seems like a natural top target type for them. But, yeah, the kid should be knocking the door down. Michigan's offensive line isn't going anywhere. Quarterback should be in good shape. Again, this depends on the gym situation still, but either way, running back is the one spot I think where you'd think we want to see an uptick maybe in the 24 cycle and not just one guy. I think they're capable of getting a couple guys in that cycle that are true Michigan caliber backs. So with Marshall being the number one, right? They've been recruiting him for quite a while. Trying to think of the best way to say it. Feels like he's the only one they're really recruiting really hard that they've offered, you know, so far. So, you know, it's clear he's their top guy. And getting him back up on campus with both Corum and Edwards still in the program, a lot for him to see in person and think, yeah, you know, I could definitely succeed here in a big way. And the other thing to think about, other schools have great backs. I compare what Michigan has at back as far as like what Ohio State has at receiver as far as the Michigan's running game is the face of their offense as far as like the flashy part, where with Ohio State, it's the talk is always about Smith and Jigba, Olave, receiver, right? Mm-hmm. So at Michigan, you will be like the not just used a lot or whatever, but you will be like the focal point, not just from the actual usage standpoint, but like from like a – really from a stardom standpoint, you know? So that's, I think, another little feather in Michigan's cap that they should be using at running back if they're not already.
Yeah, great point, Steve. So, Bryce, looking beyond this week, though, there are some other prospects later in the month that are set to come in, right?
Yeah, so we're anticipating them having two more junior days. This upcoming weekend, I don't think, is technically a junior day for them. But the weekend of the 21st and then also the weekend of the 28th, they're expected to have several guys come in for both those weekends. And I think, honestly, the biggest guy, Sam, that they're going to have the following weekend here is a guy that I don't think we've talked about quite a bit, but we probably should, is Cameron Brandt.
That's right.
He's a lineman from California, and he's actually in the 2023 class. Mm-hmm. Was originally, I think, I don't know if he still is, but Stanford, was committed to Stanford. But with David Shaw moving on and then the Cardinals going a different direction there, Michigan has kind of sneaked their way into that recruitment. And Mike Elston has done a really good job recruiting him and getting him now up to campus. You know, that was the biggest thing, is can you get this guy to campus? He held off signing in the early period there in December to look at a few schools, mainly Michigan. He is going to be taking this visit to Michigan that following weekend of the 21st. But the thing, and me and Steve talked about this a little before the podcast, is like, all right, so you're getting him up to campus, but how many bodies are you planning on taking along the defensive front there? Because there's also still recruiting from Marist High School in Illinois. Yeah, Jamel Howard. Now, he's a different body type. He's more, you know, he's 6'3", 320, whereas Cameron Brandt, I think, is around 6'3", in the 290 range. So he's more like a Trey Pierce, who they just signed. So it's like, where does he fit up front? But if they're having him come to campus, they obviously still really like him. And a big thing is, when we did the signing day special podcast, we talked to Pierce. And what did he tell us, Sam? He said, they're looking at me basically along the whole defensive front edge. He could maybe move to inside, so you don't know. So I think that helps with the numbers and the flexibility there. But he's a guy that people should keep an eye out for, as he's got to make decisions soon, you know. So that's the biggest name. They're going to have some other juniors, obviously, for that weekend. Luke Hamilton, the top 247 offensive lineman commit. He committed after the Ohio State win. He's been rock solid to Michigan since then. He fits to a T1 Michigan likes to do up front with running the ball. Also likely Brian Robinson, a guy we've talked about, top 247 guy from the state of Ohio, edge rusher. Michigan's trending the crystal ball there as well. And there's several other guys as well. But, yeah, I think with Cameron Brandt, that's the most intriguing guy coming up, and we'll see what happens with him.
Yeah, man, it's so tough. I mean, all that focus on Nick Harbor, you understand why. Big time talent, 5-star. Jaden Davis, even though he's a 24, 5-star. But these are two intriguing guys. Jamel Howard, the space eater in the middle. He's your prototypical, your classic nose guard, two gap guy. He'll be a load in the middle for whoever gets him, right? He, upon decommitting from Wisconsin, became a national prospect now. Now, it certainly was looking like a Michigan lean. I think we all have crystal balls there. But man, with the uncertainty with Harbaugh, it's just hard to stick with that. And then Cam Brandt, you know, it was really sounding like Michigan. And I don't want to make it sound like they don't still have a great opportunity, but it was sounding like, man, there's a real distinct possibility that Michigan could swing momentum on this visit. I'm not saying it's impossible, Steve, but it's a lot harder to do when they are asking questions about, that's the reason why Cam Brandt is looking around, because it's the head coach. I mean, if it was just about the school for Cam Brandt, he'd still be committed to Stanford, right? So, you know, it's not just about the school for him. That's going to be a hard pitch to make with him. He's looking at the coach as well. So, not having that question answered, I think, is going to be a factor in where Michigan stands with him. We'll see. We'll keep you covered, you know, every step of the way. So, in a nutshell, how is this uncertainty affecting Michigan's recruitment? It's harming it, right? It's fair to say, right? It's harming the recruiting effort at this point, probably elongating the process for Jaden Davis. Put your standing with Nicholas Harbor in question, You know, I know maybe I was the only one that was thinking this at this point, but I had Michigan out front for Nicholas Harbor, and I'm not so sure anymore. And, you know, Jamel Howard had a crystal ball in. I'm kind of flimsy about that. And Cam Brandt, we know how hard he's considering who the coach is going to be. So, fellas, I mean, it's a tough spot to be in for Michigan. But look, it is what it is. The most important thing at this point, Steve and Bryce, is they got to get Jim Harbaugh squared away. It may cost them, the timing of it may cost them some recruiting in the short run, and they're going to have to figure out, if necessary, they have to figure out a way to make up for it in the long run. Hopefully, though, they can get this thing done quickly. That's the main idea. So anything else, guys, before we get out of here?
I did want to say I was not tempted to follow the Michigan State crystal balls for Jacob Oden when they came in. So they came from one direction. We were not going to follow that direction. At least I was not. So,
I will say this. I know why they were so confident.
Sure.
And I will concede that he was probably trending there. Now they were saying silent commit. And it's my rebuttal to that, reply to that would be, okay. What does that mean? I don't think a silent commit would have ever stuck if he ever gave him one, right? So that's just my opinion. But I'm with you, Steve. I understand where you're coming from, man.
Yeah, didn't want to follow that. So, yeah.
Well, folks, look, you asked and we delivered. You wanted to a podcast, an episode dedicated to recruiting in the new year and how it's being impacted by the uncertainty with Harbaugh. There you have it. We always shoot you straight. You never say that we sugarcoat. We don't do that. We give you the real. So that's where things stand right now. If you like this podcast, be sure to rate it. Be sure to review it. Be sure to tell all your friends about it. If you're listening to us, you can tell them they can find it on Google, Stitcher, Spotify, you name it. Doesn't matter. We are there. On YouTube, be sure to like the video. Be sure to subscribe to the channel. That way you'll get a notice every time we do a new episode. But the place to be, themichiganinsider.com. That is where it all goes down. You know, you separate fact from fiction over there. We give you the real over there, too, with thoroughly vetted information. We don't take message board posts and turn them into stories. We don't do that over there. That's where you need to be. All right, folks? $1 gets you in your first month, and you'll be hooked. And once you're hooked, you got access to Paramount Plus, too. With the cost of your subscription, cannot beat it. So thanks a lot. We'll see you next time on the next edition of the Michigan Recruiting Insider.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.